You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We have been journeying through the book of Acts, as you know, if you've been going with us. In Acts 4, we get to basically a trial. John and Peter are in trouble because in Acts chapter 3, they healed a man. And in healing this man, some people got ticked off. Isn't it interesting you can do something good and people get mad about it? Seems like everybody cheer about that. That'd be good news, wouldn't it? A guy that couldn't walk can now walk. But the problem was that they healed him in the name of Jesus. And whenever you speak the name of Jesus, it's a stumbling block of offense. And so they are called before the Sanhedrin. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick it up here. And they're in the courtroom, if you will. There's at least 70 people in the courtroom. And they're coming against him. And we're going to see it this week and next week. Seeing in healing in this name of Jesus, I told you to pay attention in Acts chapter 3 because this healing is going to cause some trouble. Now we're to the trouble part. But we're going to see these men rise up with courage because God is calling every single one of us, man, woman, and child, to be men and women of courage, to step forward in courage. So I hope that today that you are motivated and you are stepping forward in courage in your life. I don't know where that is. That might be in your parenting. That might be in your marriage. That might be in your finances, in your relationships with people at work. Whatever it is, that we would be encouraged to walk in courage. Courage is a great thing. I love a couple quotes as these men are going to stand against these folks that are saying, you need to be quiet about Jesus. They're going to stand against that. I love this quote. It says, we must not mind insulting men if by respecting them we would offend God. Another quote, it is only the fear of God that can deliver us from the fear of man. Third and final quote, a man named John Shedd said this, and this is good, a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were built for. A ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were built for. You and I could come and get together and find a safe place, but that's not what we were made for. We were made to go out. I love the book of Acts. Part of the reason I love the book of Acts is it's kind of a dude book. It's a guy book. It's a fighting book. It's a going forward book. And ladies, I know you guys and gals like that as well. But this is a guy. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Let's get out there in the workshop and make something and go for it. That's what we're going to see with Peter and John. So men and women, rise up in courage. And be encouraged to have courage. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and they knew that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man standing who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in response. After they had ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, so they're sending them out, the jury's got to talk kind of thing, sending them out. After they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves, saying, what should we do with these men? For an obvious, notice, obvious sign, evident to all who live in Jerusalem, has been done through them, and we cannot deny it. Verse 17, but so this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in this name again. So here we have John and Peter standing before these folks. The man that is healed is standing right there. And they've got coming against them. They're basically saying, shh, you can't talk about Jesus. You can't mention Christ. We don't want to hear about any higher authority than what you're standing in front of right now. We want to have you be quiet about this. See, courage is revealed in confrontation. When you have confrontation, that's when you show your courage. The running back shows his ability to run because there's a defense on the field. That's how you show it. So they have this confrontation and they're moving forward in courage. These folks are intimidating them. They're saying, what can we do to intimidate them with our power to tell them to be quiet? Don't you know that intimidation is a power play that's been around a long, long time? It's always a good way to get people to do what you want them to do. If you could just intimidate them, then you can break them and you can have them do what you want them to do instead of what maybe God is calling them to do. But here these common men rise up. And they rise up in such a way that gives such great boldness. Look, if you will, in verse 13. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John, they realized they were uneducated and untrained men. That's not a compliment. And they were amazed that they knew that they had been with Jesus. These men, they saw Peter and John, they're fishermen, right? Fishermen. And they said they're ordinary, untrained, and uneducated men. That first word of uneducated. Uneducated means that they were not trained in the rabbinical schools. So these religious elders are looking and they're saying, tell me what seminary you went to, Peter. I went to the seminary of five loaves and fish is where I went. John, tell me a little bit about your master's degree, where you did your rabbi training, who you studied under. Well, actually, I'm a fisherman. It's all of this that they're wanting to see the degrees, and they're saying, but you're untrained, or excuse me, you're uneducated in the things of God. And if you don't know up here, then God's not going to use you here. Then they move on, and they said, you're not only uneducated, you're also untrained. It's a Greek word that means a common man, a layman, means a soldier that is not an officer. So you're uneducated, you don't have any degrees of seminary or any kind of religious education. You're untrained, so you're not a military officer. Who are you? You're unimpressive to us. They're just fishermen. They're just fishermen. But here's what's great about God. God uses ordinary people. Jesus moves us from common to courageous. Jesus moves us from common to courageous. Here are these two fishermen. Just 60 days earlier, Peter was standing in front of a fire pit and he was saying that he didn't know Jesus Christ. Yet he's standing in front of the same council that put Jesus to death, same people, and he's declaring with boldness, Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 12 is a great verse for a memory verse. He says that there's no other name. Salvation is in no one else, for there is no other name under which heaven by which we must be saved. The name of Jesus is the only thing, so he's not going to throw it away. He's going to move forward with it. Peter's boldness is a testimony of the change of the Holy Spirit. The boldness of Peter from back in the Gospels till now shows a testimony that God changes lives. He takes the common fisherman and he makes him a courageous, courageous impact player. God moves us, Jesus moves us from common to courageous. Now, guess what? Most of us feel very common, don't we? Very common. Abraham Lincoln said this, God loves the common man. That's why he made so many of them. God loves the common man. That's why he made so many of them. Most of us feel very common, don't we? We know somebody that's got more than us. We know somebody that's prettier than us, handsome than us. Somebody that's got better clothes, better this, smarter, this, that, or the other, whatever it is. We all feel a little bit common, but here's the truth about it. In this city, in this room, in this church, the most common is actually a person that is tremendously excelled in the world. Tremendously excelled. You say, well, I, in this church, I feel a little bit weird because I just got my GED. Your GED is greater than some people's education they've had in their entire life. I mean, absolutely. Well, I haven't really been going to church that much. I've only been in church 10 years. You've heard more preaching in 10 years than some people have heard in their entire life. As we were praying at the beginning of the service for an unreached people group. Can you get your mind around an unreached people group? No knowledge of Jesus, no Bible, no worship songs, nothing. We're steeped in it. I probably got three shelves of Bibles. Pick what translation you want. We feel common, but we are not common. God has blessed us, and to whom much is given, much is required. In our church, you know, just in our church, you know what we've got in our church? We've got so many people in our church, so many amazing things. We've got elected officials in our church. We've got professional athletes in our church. We've got CEOs of publicly traded companies in our church. We've got CEOs of private companies. We've got teachers. We've got principals. We've got administrators. We've got professors. We've got people that are so technical-minded, they can figure out anything about a computer and this, that, and the other. They are so good at those sort of things. We've got radio personalities in our church. We've got TV news people from ABC, NBC, CBS, and I think Fox News as well on the local stations, just in our own church, just right here. We've got leaders of ministries in our church. We've got people that are missionaries that are here for a time to go back out. We've got doctors. We've got lawyers. We got trash collectors. We got everywhere in between. Doesn't matter. I'm not trying to say this we're some kind of elite church. I'm trying to say that we are not uneducated, untrained people. We are highly educated, highly trained people. Whether you feel common or not, whether you have an important job or not, just that you live in this country, in this city, And let me say this. Here's the point. Sometimes we can look with false humility, can't we? Oh, not me. No, you. Yeah, you. Yeah, me. We're smart people. We've been given so much. This verse, they observed with their boldness that Peter and John, and they realized they were uneducated, untrained people. That's not us. Here's the sentence. You ready? Our problem is not we need more education. We need more courage. The problem in making a difference in our world is not we need more education. We need more courage. I don't need to know anything else and more about the Bible. I need to live out the Bible is what I need to do. You don't need to hear another sermon, and you're going to hear a bunch for the rest of your life. Live it out. Walk it out. Walk with courage. We don't need another class on evangelism. We need somebody to share their faith. We don't need another sermon on this, that, or the other. We just need to do what we already know. Walk with courage. I'm preaching to myself, y'all. Walk with courage. We are not untrained. We are not uneducated. The fact is, we're just not bold. Walk with great courage. These men, they saw they were ordinary, untrained, uneducated men. Doesn't fit with us. Though we feel common, God can make our commonness courageous. But they did see a difference that is something that we've got to have. That they had been with Jesus. Now, what does that mean? That they had had a quiet time that morning and they kind of got in their closet and they listened to some worship songs and somebody had made a little CD, you know, of Hebrew courses. No. They were with Jesus for 3 years. And these people looked and they said, I know that Peter because I remember that Peter being around that fire pit. I remember that Peter. This Peter, he's the one that lopped off the guy's ear in the garden. This John, we know this John. We've seen him before. These guys have been with Jesus. See, the difference making in someone's life is that you've been with Jesus, that you've spent time with Jesus. Jesus has made a difference in your life. Do you notice something? There is no coming, as these are really the enemies of God in this place. They don't say anything about the man who's been healed. His changed life is the testimony, isn't it? What do they say? They don't say, well, he hadn't really been healed. They see that he's been healed. Changed lives give testimony. Changed lives of difference give testimony. A second thing the Sanhedrin doesn't do, and this is very important, especially if you're wondering if Christianity's true. They do not say that Jesus did not raise from the grave. There is no fronting of the resurrection. They don't say, hey, y'all keep talking about the name of Jesus. He didn't come out of the grave, guys. Here's the body. Somebody go get the body. They don't produce the body. Nobody says, well, wait, he didn't rise from the grave. It is a statement of the truth of the resurrection that the enemies of God here in this place that put Jesus on the cross, that have Peter and John before them in a trial, it is a statement of the truth of the resurrection that they do not confront them about the resurrection. They know that's true. They know this man's been healed. And they know Peter and John have been with Jesus. Changed lives prove the truth of the gospel. Changed lives prove the truth of the gospel. I don't know enough. Yeah, but do you know what Jesus did in you? That's enough. Somebody says, well, I don't know if I believe in Jesus, and I think you're crazy. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you about this week, what God has done. Let me tell you about what I used to be like and what I am like now. Let me tell you about the change of Jesus in my life. That cannot be debated. God changes lives, and changed lives make a difference. What if you were kind of in a tough part of town? It's you, your wife, your kids, and you get a flat tire. It's late at night. It's dark at night, and you get a flat tire, and you pull over in a tough part of town. The murder rate's high. The assault rate is high. The theft rate is high. It's a tough part of town, and you're out there changing the tires. The wife and kids are in the car, and that's how it should work. So the guy's out there. He's changing the tire because we lay down our lives, you know, type thing. So we're changing the tire, and you see a pack of men coming from a dark alley, and they're walking towards you. Would it change how you felt if you knew that they had just come from a Bible study? Yes. Why? Because God changes lives. He makes the common man courageous. And the truth about it is we all feel really common, and we're not in relationship to the rest of the world. The problem is not our education or our training. The problem is our courage. And so we've got to step out with our courage and say, Lord, let me be a courageous person. We don't need more education. We need more courage. Changed lives leave skeptics speechless. So they've been with Jesus. What does that mean? How do we be with Jesus? What does that mean to be with Christ? Obviously, we don't want to go to heaven right now. Nobody's got a death wish on that. Jesus isn't here physically on earth. Here's what it means, that we spend time with God. A person that has placed their trust in Jesus Christ has said, Jesus Christ has died on the cross for my sins. I've received him as my Savior. The Holy Spirit lives inside my heart. I believe his resurrection is what's going to take me to heaven when I die. My faith is in his death and his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. So to be with Jesus, how I spend time with Jesus is I spend time with Jesus through his word. I spend time with Jesus through prayer, through Bible study right now as we're doing, through fellowship, all of those things that we've heard before. We spend time with Christ. Now, we've heard this before, but we've got to walk in deeper depth, more depth with that. Because consistency brings intimacy in relationships. Consistency brings intimacy in relationships. Same thing in our relationship with God. Consistency with Jesus. If you're just with him once a week, that's the kind of relationship with God you're going to have. If you're just with him once every so often, that's the kind of relationship you're going to have. But if you're with him every day, not that everybody's perfect, but that you're walking in consistent relationships, just like in a marriage, the more you're together, the better it goes, right? That's how it's supposed to go. And you might be like, no, actually, the more we're together, the worse it is. Well, talk to somebody and stay hanging in there, okay? It's not going to get any better by separating your time together. The more you talk, the more you talk. Your kids don't need you to buy them another thing. They need you to be with them. Don't let coaches raise your kids with all their involvements. You raise your kids. Give them your time. Walk with them in your time. Intimacy, consistency builds relationships. Kelly and I say sometimes if we were synchronized swimmers, we'd be getting about a 3 right now. We are not on the same page. And usually it's when we haven't had that time together. It's the same way with Christ. We spend time with him, and now people are able to see, you've been with Jesus. Something different about you. You've been with Jesus. Now, let me say this very quickly, though, because we got this wrong. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a Christian, our proximity to God, to Christ, never changes. Our proximity never changes. We say it, though, I feel far away from God. I feel distant from God. Your proximity with Christ never changes. Doesn't ever change. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. He can't get any closer to you than that. That's what makes sin so heinous, because we take Jesus with us into our sin. We don't just leave him outside and say, oh, I'm coming back later, Jesus, and I'm going to go sin. No, Jesus is right there with you. That's bad. That's not good. That's conviction of the Spirit. Our proximity never changes as believers. You're always, he's got you in his hand. But our intimacy does change. Our proximity never changes, but our intimacy does change. Now, these men here, their proximity had changed, hasn't it? Jesus is in heaven now. They used to be walking around with him on planet Earth. But their intimacy is growing because their boldness and their strength in him is growing. Consistency brings intimacy in relationships. Proximity to God never changes for a Christian, but intimacy does. So we've got to step out in great courage. Lord, you're with me. God, you're in me. Lord, you're going to do something through me. I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want to have people see that difference in me. I don't need more education, though it's good and great. I need more boldness and I need more courage to step out in you. My wife went on a mission trip, just got back a couple weeks ago with 6 other ladies, just ladies, just a bunch of moms. I think there's about 15 or 16 kids represented with these 7 ladies. So it's just a bunch of moms. If you stacked them all up, they all together, the mission trip wouldn't weigh 1,000 pounds, okay? I mean, it's little bitty things. Going to India is where they went. Courage to go halfway around the world, to the other side of the world. I was in charge of the kids. Courage for 10 days. I made all the food from scratch. scratch my head, and I'd open up the freezer, and I'd pull it out, and I'd stick it in the freezer, in the oven. That's what I do. Made it from scratch. What are we going to eat? Boop, 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 1-800-Pizza Hut. That's what we're going to eat. Okay. But these ladies get on a plane. They leave their homes. They leave their families. Courage to leave their kids with the husbands, actually. They'll just, as long as they're alive, that's all we're hoping. So they go off on this trip. They head over there to be with a ministry that we've helped a lot with as our church. So you've helped with this. Our young singles actually bought a bus for this ministry this past summer to help this ministry. It's called As Our Own. My book, I Am, Change Who I Am, portion of the royalties, sponsors As Our Own. So we're all in on this. As Our Own rescues, ready for your heart to break, rescues young girls from the red light districts of India. Their moms work in the red light districts. They rescue the daughters because the daughters will do what the moms do if they don't get out. So moms, picture this. They give up their children for adoption because they do not want their kids to follow in their footsteps. And their kids are then adopted by this ministry called As Our Own. And so our ladies, they went in there, seven of them. They taught Bible studies. They did crafts. They loved on these girls. I mean, it was awesome. It was wonderful. Our ladies went into the red light districts. They had to wrap their face so that you couldn't see anything, basically, but sunglasses. So you couldn't tell that it's all these ladies from America going to this area so that they could pray for these ladies. They could care for these ladies, not shame them. They got enough shame, don't you know? Love them and care for them and minister to them, build relationships with them. Teach them courage. It's just moms, y'all. Loving these kids, caring for them. So one of the evenings, my wife is an awesome cook. People ask me what my favorite restaurant is. I say Kelly's because she's good cooking. It's just awesome. And she makes once a year at Christmas Eve, we always have this molten chocolate lava cake. You cut into it and this chocolate dark brown chocolate comes out into white chocolate and it's awesome. Awesome. So if you wonder, man, he's really trying to move this Christmas Eve service along. Yes, I am. I'm getting to that cake. You know, it's awesome. Well, she went and they went to the grocery store and they bought, I mean, it's kind of hard to buy all this stuff in India, but they packed in some chocolates from here and went. And she got with all these ladies that are caretakers of all these little girls to teach them how to make this cake. And so ladies, I want you to hear, would you just picture a bunch of ladies in the kitchen laughing, cackling, talking, right? Somebody put in too much flour. Just what you did at Thanksgiving, that kind of kitchen talk. Teaching this so that then they could make this for these little girls. Courage. Not to do a cooking show. That's not what I'm talking about. Courage to go halfway around the world to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Courage to be one of these ladies in India that has given up their life to care for these orphans. Courage. Boldness. To live a life for something greater than self. The places they went were dangerous. I got on the phone with the guy before they went. I said, I just want to know, tell me about security a little bit. You know, I don't want you dropping these seven ladies off and they just head in to this area. I mean, tell me a little bit about this. Oh, we're going to have guys with us. It's going to be secure. I said, okay, I just want to know, is anybody going to have a gun? Is there any guns that are going in there with you? He said, oh, Pastor Greg, we do not carry guns in India like you carry guns in Texas. Okay, I got that. That makes sense. Just want to check, though. It's my wife. I'm a man of faith, but a man who's okay with a gun being there too. Courage to step out in faith to make a difference. Do you have enough courage to be yourself, who God created you to be? Do you have enough courage to be godly? Do you have enough courage to parent, to be a wife, to be a husband, to be an employee? Do you have enough courage to succeed? Some of us are afraid to fail. Some of us are afraid to succeed. Do you have enough courage to share your faith with others, your giftedness, your time, your resources? Do you have enough courage to stand for Jesus? These men, ordinary, unschooled men, they stood with Jesus. The difference was this, and this is where we're going next week. I'm just giving you a little teaser. It's a conflict. Here's how you have courage. It's what you do with this question. Do you listen to man or do you listen to God? When you listen to man, you don't walk with courage. When you listen to God, you walk with courage. Listening to man can be listening to yourself. What do I want? Listening to man can be listening to others. What does everybody else want me to do? Listening to man can be listening to the authorities. Oh, no, oh, no. That's what's happening here. Or listening to God can be, I'm going to walk with boldness and strength in the power of the Holy Spirit because he lives inside of me. So men and women, I call you to courage. Step out, Cyprus. Step out in your workplace. Step out in your neighborhood. Step out and become a part of our church. Step out and come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Step out and walk with him daily, getting to know him. And that will make the difference in your life so that people could say to you as well, I know him, I know her, and they've been with Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.